Well, good morning. Would you like to join me in that passage that we've just had read to us by Maureen in John chapter 10? It would be really good if you could follow along with me in your Bible. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to this portion of your word this morning. Amen. Well, when we read through this passage, we may think that it seems a little odd. How can Jesus enter through the gate in verse 2, be the gate in verse 7, and then in verse 11, be the good shepherd? What sort of parable is this? And the answer is really, it's not a parable. These first 16 verses don't form a consistent story like a parable, but they contain a series of metaphors or illustrations. Nevertheless, we can see that there is a consistent shepherd theme throughout this passage. And these verses we're looking at in chapter 10 follow on from chapter 9, when Jesus has given sight to a man who has been blind from birth. The Pharisees did not like that. They say that Jesus is not from God because he healed on the Sabbath. But the healed man testifies that his healing by Jesus is a work of God. The response of the Pharisees is to cast the man out of the synagogue. And this was a very harsh reaction. It could leave the man to be looked on as a pariah, despised by friends and family. But Jesus welcomes the man, draws him into faith, so that not only his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes are opened. Well, this is the context for the beginning of chapter 10, as Jesus directly addresses the Pharisees, while the disciples and other onlookers eavesdrop. In verse 1, Jesus addresses the Pharisees and tells them, "Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief or a robber." Thieves and robbers, is there a difference? Well, I think there is. Thieves tend to sneak in to steal. And I think here they represent those who would lead people astray with persuasive teaching. Robbers, on the other hand, are more forceful. They steal by threatening violence. And I think in this illustration, they represent those who would attempt to exert unwarranted authority, adding rules and regulations of their own, distorting the word of God. The Pharisees had just demonstrated this misuse of authority in the way that they had dealt with the man who'd been born blind by throwing him out of the synagogue community. Now, when we look at verses 2 and 3, we see that the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The gate here is the endorsement from God which validates the shepherd's authority. It's a witness of the patriarchs and the prophets and the Holy Spirit. And the gatekeeper opens the gate to the shepherd, just as John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees here, but this allegory does not apply exclusively to them. Throughout history, there have been thieves and robbers, the false prophets of the Old Testament, the false teachers of New Testament times, and the false teachers even in our own times. But Jesus continues in verse 3, "The shepherd listened to his voice," and in verse 4, "they know his voice." The sheep, God's children, recognize Jesus because they recognize God's truth in what he says and does. They don't recognize God's truth in the Pharisees. Their teaching does not lead to peace with God. Following sets of rules doesn't lead to peace with God. The Pharisees had thrown the healed man out of the synagogue, but Jesus, the true shepherd, had welcomed him into the kingdom of God. Well, now that the Pharisees have heard these words, from Jesus, maybe they'll re-examine their own hearts and their own teaching. Sadly not. In verse 6, we read, the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. This was not because of intellectual inability. For so long, they had closed their hearts and their minds to God's truth, preferring their own understanding of how things should be done, that they were no longer even able to understand or receive what Jesus was teaching. And you know, even for Christians, there's a danger that we can hold on to firmly entrenched ideas by either ignoring Scripture or twisting it in a way that fits into our own way of thinking. The writer of the book of Hebrews quotes Psalm 95 when he writes in chapter 3, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And we know this is quite often used as an evangelistic challenge to unbelievers. That's fine, but we should not forget that it was written primarily for believers. The Bible warns us in Romans chapter 12, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So there's a challenge for us. Are we allowing God's Word and the Holy Spirit to transform us by the renewing of our minds? Or do we too easily conform to the pattern of this world? Today, if we hear his voice, we should not harden our hearts against the truth, as the Pharisees had done. Well, moving on to verse 7, let us remind ourselves that in verse 2, the gate is entered by the shepherd. As we saw earlier, the authenticity of the shepherd is validated by him being able to enter the gate. The old covenant of the law is a gate through which the good shepherd brings the new covenant of grace. Now, in verse 7, the gate still has that role of authentication. But it's now Jesus who is the gate through which the sheep enter to be saved. He is the only gate, the only way into the kingdom of God. Moving on to verses 8 and 9, Jesus again contrasts himself with thieves and robbers. And a little later, in verses 12 and 13, he brings in another type of false shepherd, the hired hand. Then, as now, there were people who set themselves up as spiritual leaders as a career choice rather than as a calling from God. And when put to the test, they fail. The crucial point of this whole discourse is in verses 11 and 14, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Do you remember when in Luke chapter 18, the rich ruler said to Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus initially answered, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, by asking this question, Jesus wasn't denying his deity, but affirming it. He was testing the ruler to see if he really understood what he meant by calling Jesus good teacher. Now, Jesus is calling himself the good shepherd. Now, the word good, when applied to God, means so much more than when we apply it to anything or anyone else. And I'm going to borrow an illustration from the late Christian broadcaster, R.C. Sproul. If you ask me about somebody's dog, "Is he a good dog?" I may answer, "Well, he doesn't chew the rug, he doesn't bite the postman, and he sits quietly when he's told to. Yeah, he's a good dog." But suppose you ask me about Matthew, our vicar. What's he like? I'd say, "Well, he's a good man." But I wouldn't base that on the fact that he doesn't chew the rug or he doesn't bite the postman. I'm pretty sure you don't most of the time. No, when I'm looking for to think about a good man, a good human, my criteria for goodness of a human is a much higher level than my criteria for a good dog. In some ways, the word good means the same, but it's so much different for a human than it is for a God. There's a world of difference between what we mean by a good dog and a good human. But the gulf between the goodness of human and the goodness of God is even greater. In fact, the goodness of God transcends so much our own points of reference that we can only really grasp the very edges of its meaning. But even that little we understand is just amazing. We are very, very blessed to be in the care of the Good Shepherd. Now, in saying, "I am the Good Shepherd," Jesus is identifying with his Father and what has already been said of him in the Old Testament. For instance, and there's many more than these two examples I'm going to give you, in Psalm 100, "Know that Yahweh is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And in Isaiah chapter 40, there's this really beautiful picture. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart." This is a love that's tender, strong, and intense. And it's also sacrificial, as we read in verses 11 and 15. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, the good shepherd is there for the whole flock as a whole, but he also cares for each individual within the flock. Look at verse 3 again. "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls me by name. He calls you by name. He leads us as a flock, as a church, but he also leads us individually. Each individual is precious to Jesus. Now, in verse 16, Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." In the immediate context, we understand that Jesus is talking about the inclusion of the Gentiles, fulfilling God's promise to Abraham that through his offspring, all nations would be blessed. I think the significance for us today is that there should be no one who is made to feel marginalized within the church. As a sheep led by the Good Shepherd, each Christian's identity is first and foremost in Christ, not in age, not in gender, education, status, or anything else. We are all part of the same flock, all equally precious to Jesus. Not one should be marginalized. In today's church, Jesus calls some people to be under-shepherds, leaders in his church, and they are commissioned with the same task as Peter when the resurrected Jesus said, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." The instructions that Paul addressed to the leaders in Ephesus apply to all who are in church leadership. He said, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." That's in Acts chapter 20. It's a holy calling to have a position of leadership within a church. And it's a joyful flock that upholds dedicated leaders rather than grumbling about them all the time and walks with them on the path of holiness. Well, we'll finish by thinking again about what Jesus says about the sheep in verses 3, 4, and 5. We are his sheep, and each of these verses has a challenge for us. In verse 3, the sheep listen to his voice. Listening is about hearing and obeying. The challenge here is, do we live by his word? In verse 4, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is about exercising discernment. Do we follow him? Do we know his voice? In verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Do we guard against being beguiled by false teachers? The danger is often not obvious. Jesus spoke about wolves in sheep's clothing. These people may refer to the Bible, but they'll do it in a selective and misleading way. Some want to broaden the gate, offering cheap grace which winks at sin without much call for repentance. Others want to make the gate narrower by imposing rules and conditions of their own. To be protected and to be able to meet the three challenges in verses 3, 4, and 5, we need to be prayerfully immersed in God's word. Now, like all sheep, we're prone to wander. But the good shepherd looks after his sheep. In John chapter 14, we're reminded that Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to be with us forever, to guide and strengthen us, to call us back when we start to stray. Our passage draws towards a close in verse 19 when we read, the Jews who heard these words were again divided. The words of Jesus have divided people throughout history. The most important defining question for every single person to ask themselves is, on which side of that divide do I stand? There's no fence to sit on, but the gate is always open. Jesus said, whoever enters through me will be saved. Would you like to pray with me? Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Good Shepherd. Please help us through your word and by your spirit to recognize and listen to your voice, to follow and obey our good and perfect shepherd. Amen.